On this week's Nonsensible podcast.
Hey everyone, this is a very special episode of Nonsensible today. We've got Park Jin-young, Jun Park from GOD joining us today. And he's had a lot to say, a lot of interesting conversation for sure. So much so, in fact, that we're going to be splitting this episode up into two. So make sure to tune in next week where you get to hear the second part.
Nonsensible.
You're listening to Nonsensible with Sam,
Dave,
Saul,
and today we have a very special guest.
Really, really happy to have you.
Yo, what's up, G Money?
So happy to have you,
Jun Park. I think I'm the oldest here. Probably could add you guys together, and it's my age, right?
No, well, I'm an older guy as well.
I'm the you oldest are? Of the three of us.
He's older than me.
Yeah. You are?
I'm 34.
Wow. Really?
Do I look younger than him?
You really have actually, you know what? It's him. It's just his. Hairstyle is just a little bit, if he had his hairstyle a little bit different, I think he'd look younger.
Yeah.
You have really good skin, by the way.
Thank
look
you
at
so
skin,
much.
Man. He does it have good skin.
Thank you
He's
so
got
much.
Really good skin.
It's got the rosy cheeks.
It's because I'm a fan of this guy.
Well, no, dude, my skin is shit. Well, you're basically, you're from the States. What part?
Yeah, North Carolina.
North Carolina. Wow, that place, yeah.
Yeah, have you been to North Carolina?
I've never been to North Carolina, but I've been to Louisiana and I've been to the South. I've been to Atlanta. I've been to, you know, Florida and…
Atlanta's kind of very similar to North Carolina,
right.
I feel like. Culturally, no?
I don't know, man. I've been to parts of Louisiana and people are looking at me like I was an alien. Like, they're like, what are you? You know, I'm…
Being Asian.
And being Asian because in Atlanta, I mean, in Louisiana, it's, I think, you don't see that many Asians there. And at the same token, I'm kind of dark. Well, right now I'm white because I don't see the sun because of corona. But I have a lot of melanin and I'm dark skinned.
Yeah, you get tan.
Yeah, and then I have curly hair. And I don't look like the typical Korean. So, when I went there, people were going, what are you? You
know? And so I know that you started GOD, you were like 28 here, right?
Yeah.
But actually, was that your first time ever like living in Korea or were you…
First time living in… Well, I was born in Seongbuk-dong in Korea. And then I went to the States when I was a baby. So I lived there all my life. And my father passed away when I was like 9.
Yeah.
And before he passed away, I used to come every summer, right? I would come every summer. But then we were well off when my father was alive. And then after he passed away, it was just kind of, you know, family went almost bankrupt. And
so when you told your mom you wanted to go be a musician in Korea, was she supportive of that?
Actually… It wasn't like, I'm going to go to Korea to be a musician. I never even thought that I would come and live in Korea. Mm-hmm. So I was a graphic design major and then design major and visual communications major. So I was doing like advertising and, you know, graphic design and also product design, whatnot in the States. And I grew up surfing. I grew up skateboarding. I grew up breakdancing. And all my relatives who would visit us in California, they'd be like, you couldn't live in Korea. So I never thought that I would, you know, quote unquote, come and live in Korea and become a K-pop artist, right?
Yeah.
What happened was I used to do a little side modeling in the States. Before Janet Jackson, I would do a little bit of modeling and stuff. And then I was walking down Melrose in Hollywood area. And back then I used to lift. I was like about 198 pounds, kind of ripped, whatever. I was walking down the street and this guy comes up. I still remember he was like fashionable, you know. And I was like, oh. He comes up, he goes, hey, do you want to be in a video? And I said, no.
Was this a Janet Jackson video?
Yeah. And he was like, you want to be in a video? And I was like, what kind of video? And he goes, well, you know, I can't tell you now, but it's no, I don't want to be in no video.
You're a little suspicious.
You know, that's it.
Because
when you go to Melrose…
LA?
If you've gone to Melrose Street, you know, Melrose Boulevard, and if you go down that street, there's a couple porn shops there, right? So I'm like, nah, it's okay. I'm good. I walk across, going on the other way. Then he comes again, but this time with a lady, and she looked very, like, professional. She's like, you want to be in a video? And I go, what kind of video? She goes… Well, it is a little secretive right now, but we're doing street casting. It's a Janet Jackson video. I was like, whoa.
It wasn't Janet Jackson.
It was Janet Jackson.
What?
Sorry, the woman on the street was not Janet
the woman
Jackson.
On the street.
No. I wasn't Janet Jackson. Why? She wouldn't be street casting.
That's what I was saying.
No.
You kind of look like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, their family all looked pretty similar.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I did that. But If You Blink Your Eyes, it was a song called If in 1993.
Yeah.
I was in the beginning and I had my shirt off and they put, it was freezing cold in there and they put like lotion on you. They spray warm water. It looks like you're sweating. Basically, I was a slave. I was portraying a slave. I was like lowering something and then all the dancers come down from the ceiling and they do the if
thing. That sounds hazardous to your nipples.
You can actually get on YouTube and like I've been on YouTube just to see the music video and actually see June in it. It was kind of cool because I knew the song, but I remember you telling this story somewhere else and it was like, Janet Jackson?
Yeah.
That just kind of blew my mind. So I went home that night and searched for it on YouTube.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you're destined to be a part of the biz.
I don't know. I guess because my sister, she went to FIDM in the States and she was a fashion designer and she was working in the fashion industry. And then she came to Korea and she was doing all these things. And she actually was a costume designer for a movie where Jong Sung was on. It was called Pitu.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that was an amazing film.
So she was doing that. And then she had a picture of me on her keychain. Mm-hmm. And when people used to carry keychains, you know. And then Jong Sung's manager's like, hey, who's that? And on your she goes, my dongsaeng. And she goes, dongsaeng from where? He goes, no, it's my real brother.
Real little brother.
Yeah. She goes, wow, he looks different, you know. Mm. Is he interested in doing music? And she goes, oh yeah, you know, he likes music. He's always like freestyle rapped and he would go breakdance battles and stuff. He likes skateboarding. Like, okay, have him come. So one thing led to another. I came to Korea in 1996 to have a meeting with them in the winter of 1996. And they said, okay. He goes, what do you need? I go, I don't know, man. I go, you know, I have a dog. I have a chow chow. And that's it. I do the design work. So if I come here and if I'm preparing for the music and you guys could give me some design work so that I can make a little money on the side, mm-hmm. then I'm good and a place to stay. They go, okay. So
that's so cool.
You're low maintenance, huh?
But you know what? Yeah. You know what? I'm totally different from all the new K-pop era. You know, I am low maintenance. You just give me water and that's it, right? And then I come and no one came to the airport, man. I had no idea in January Korea was that cold. I was in tank top.
Yeah.
I was wearing a tank top, shorts and flip-flops. I had my dog.
You had a nice tan.
Oh, yeah. And then I had a box of oranges because they said oranges are expensive in Korea. But I come from Orange County. So I'm like, yo, man, that's cheap. So I bought oranges. I came and no one came to the airport. I had to get a cab. And I said, look.
Oh, wow.
The only place that I know is Pampo because that's where my aunt lives. I go, Pampo. And then he took me to that vicinity. And then I got out. And he asked me for, you know, cab fare. And it was I don't have any Korean money. He goes, I'll take $100. So I gave him $100.
Mm. Like US dollars.
Yeah, that's all I had. I gave him $100. And then I had some oranges. He goes, hey, that looks good. He goes, can I have some? And I was like, well, yeah, sure. You know, okay, whatever. I gave him some oranges. I go to my aunt's house and she's like, hey, what are you doing here? I go, I was supposed to come in. I told the whole story. She goes, how'd you get here? I go, taxi. She goes, how much you pay? I go, $100. She goes, you kidding me? That guy just robbed you. It's like only $20.
Yeah,
especially back in 1996.
Yeah.
Because back then it wasn't Incheon. It was Gimpo Airport.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
This guy is a hustler. Got the California oranges.
And you got the oranges out of it as well.
You know what's funny is oranges you cannot bring through.
I was about to say that. That's illegal, right?
Back then it was like this. If you bring it and the guy looks at you and he goes, oh, that looks good. I'll go, you want some? And they take it and they go, okay, go ahead. So that's how I started. I started and then I came here and in the beginning, you know, I already had a life in the States. Mm-hmm. I already had a job. I already knew, you know, I lived on my own. I needed to, you know, put a roof over my head, put clothes on my back and food on the table. So I was already used to that. And if you don't work, then you starve.
Yeah.
So I was used to that. But then they put me in Sukso. They put our dorm or whatever you want to call it. Housing was in Ilsan in the back side of the mountains by a, you know, you look out our back window and it's like a cemetery.
So this was like the record label that put you there?
Yeah.
But you like formed the band, right? You got all the people together.
Yeah, pretty much. When they first brought me here, they said, you know, there's a group called Turbo and there's two guys and we want to make a group where it's two guys.
Turbo.
And seeing, I was going, I go, I don't want to do a two-guy thing. And because they brought this other guy, really nice guy, good-looking kid. But I go, you know, in the States, if there's like a duet and it's two guys, it's usually like Air Supply or Hall & Oates. And it's really not a very good image to, you know, especially nowadays. You know, I don't know, man. And I go, what do you want to do then? I go, I want to make a group like New Edition.
Yep.
Or like the Jackson 5. Or, you know, like back then, Backstreet Boys before NSYNC, right? I was like, I want to do something like
that.
Was
that your inspiration? What kind of music were you listening to then?
You know what? I grew up listening to, actually, my favorite is rock. Yeah. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, so I like rock. But then at the same token, once the mid-80s rolled around, and then I always liked funk, disco. Yeah. But R&B and, you know, hip-hop was a big thing, especially when I was breakdancing. We were just breakdancing to beats and not to really, like, you know, like, that's straight on. Yeah. So those were my influences. I mean, I like Earth, Wind & Fire. I like, you know, Michael Jackson. You know, I like the typical, but I also like rock. Yeah. So what I want to do is I was listening to music. You know, when I was in the States and I was living in my apartment and my cousin from Korea came to go to school. He had a poster up on the wall. And I was going, and there's three guys. I go, what are they, man? And they had like freaking visors on with like dreadlocks and like good big gloves. And I was like, what are they? They go,
Soteji?
Yeah, they go, Soteji. Yeah. And I was going, I think I know that guy right there, the darkest one. And he goes, how? And I was going, you know, back in 1985 or 4 when I came and I went to the Itaewon Club and I was dancing, they had a break time where these guys are called No People. They came with black suits and they're like break dancing like the New York City Breakers. And I was like, what the heck? I go, this is kind of cool. But they're kind of behind. So I was like, I went out there and I was popping and they came up. And I remember at that time, the DJ was Haseowon Ajoshi.
Really?
Yeah, he started off as a DJ. All the big time people that you see nowadays, like, you know, YG, like he was a DJ. They're all like DJs or dancers, right?
Yeah.
They all started DJing and dancing.
Wow. And so you could have potentially been the fourth member of Soteji.
I don't know about that because I was like, he was like, hey, you know what? After our break time, why don't we go to a cafe here and I'll get you, let's talk about dance. And I go, cool. So
this is the 80s in Itaewon?
Yeah, 80.
This is so dope.
It's
like Studio 54 is where Pumpkin is now.
It's 84. There was like the King Club and all those clubs are still there. And then you went in there. They buy me omuraisu, which is omelet, right?
Yeah.
I would eat there. And then they go, hey, teach us some moves. They went to their practice. And I was showing them. The way they were popping was New York style. Like Mr. Wave. Like, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was doing, it's called animation. My popping was from like Boogaloo Shrimp era. Like, it's more like cartooning, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I showed them that. Oh, that's dope. So like I spent like 3 months with them. Taught them a bit. And then when I went to the States, I would send them videos. VHS videos of like, you know, 자료들. Uh-huh. And did that for a little bit. And then when I saw the poster, I go, yeah, there's the hugest. I can't believe you know. I go, I do, man. I go. So when I came and I was listening to their music, I'm like, look, man. A lot of the stuff is bit, man. It's like they're biting off music from the States.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was going, that sounds very much like Cypress Hill. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some of it sounds like the Cover Girls, like Latino. There's Latino freestyle music. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, man, check this out. I go, I think I could do this because I used to, you know, have fun DJing. And I know the two turntables and a mic and a mixer, the Akai. I go, I could do this. So when I came, I was like, Koreans at that time, there is no internet like how you guys have YouTube. You watch YouTube. Yeah. You have the whole world at your hands and you could watch that and learn from that. But back then, they only had what they could buy at the store. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I want to do it like the OGs do. These guys are basically watching, let's say, Will Smith getting jiggy with it. That song, na 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 na. That's a Forget Me Nots. That's an old song. Yeah. I don't know if it's that song, but basically, like, they would sample old songs, OG songs, and do it. But what Koreans were doing is they were copying the song that was sampled from another song. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I want to do like the OGs. Let's do the OG stuff. So that's how we started. And we were living in Ilsan, and that's how we started off. Now, what these kids, they have everything. So, like, I mean… Like talent-wise in Korea, it's like they're surpassing. You know, they're surpassing everyone.
They're trained from they're wearing pacifiers and they start training idol training.
Yeah,
you know? Like they're training from like tiny kids. You know,
they're training from tiny kids, and not only that, they're watching when they're watching TV or when they're watching YouTube. They don't have to watch someone that is emulating someone else. They're watching the OG. They're watching the originals. Like me, if you look at our song, we had a song called "Kwanchal," which is ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. They go, what kind of outfit do you want for that? And I was like, ooh. And I watched Usher at the Music Awards. Uh-huh. You make me want to leave the one I'm with.
And start a new relationship.
Right. And he had the silver pants on. I'm like, yo, that looks dope, man. With the tank top. I'm like, we want it like that. They brought us some half-ass shit. It was made with like chinchero piñuru. It was like vinyl.
Made out of vinyl.
Sofa. And every time you would do one song and take it off, that shit would smell like socks. You know, we were smelling like milk. I'm like, look, man, how come his stuff is like twigging? It's like very flary. Every time he moves, you can see everything. When we're moving, it looks stiff. They're like, well, that's all they have here.
But was that before your single like blew up? The Omani?
No, that is right after. That was, okay. We always put out our songs. We're like the autumn boys. Mm-hmm. We're like the men of fall. Our songs would come out October, you know, November, December. Always.
Because you partied all summer?
Hell no, dude. I had no money. If I had money to party, I would be eating a bowl of ramen. You know, like that's… We would come out. So all of our songs, our first title songs would usually be ballads.
Yeah. So it kind of suited the season.
Right. Because, you know, in America, especially in California, we don't have four seasons.
Yeah.
We
have just summer all year round.
The thing about TOD, though, they're famous for, you know, also having that serious side of, you know, a lot of their ballads and songs like that.
Yeah.
They also have, you know, some upbeat and like more like, you know, I guess like hip hop esque stuff like that, you know. And
TOD
has a wide array of
everything.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's why I ended up working with JY, because he spoke English and he had that mentality of, even though when we started, he didn't have the vast knowledge of it either until he started learning a little more, because like I said, they didn't have all that stuff here. They didn't have the internet. So, but we clicked pretty well. So we decided to work together and it was good. We're more like friends. Instead of, that's why here, he still speaks to me. Hey,
are you guys still close?
Yeah. But it's just that he's busy doing, I mean, they're gigantor right now. Yeah.
I had a weird like Dave Chappelle Prince basketball moment with him one time. He like challenged a bunch of the guys who we play basketball with to play against them in like the Samsung Thunder practice stadium.
Oh, JY. Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, oh, JY is like older now. It'll be fine. You guys will be able to beat his team probably. And we showed up and he had like professional basketball players on his team with him. One of the guys was like 7 feet tall. And so like we're like doing our best to guard this like 7 foot tall guy.
He's a
professional. And JYP is just like killing us with like wide open layups because his team was so great. It was amazing.
He's a perfectionist. Everything, like if you look at it one way, he's a very tedious person. But when you look at another, he's a very, very professional. He's a perfectionist. So to work with him… When you're not working, it's really fun. When you're working with him, it could be a pain in the ass. But, you know, that's just how he is. And that's why things get dialed in the way they are. And whatever he touches turns to gold, you know.
Things get done.
Yeah, things get done.
It might be a pain in the ass, but the end result is what…
Right. You
know, shows.
Just like when you're younger and you're going to school, you don't want to study. But your mom and everyone just study.
Yeah.
And then you do. And then your results are good. Same thing. Yeah.
We've had a few people that have actually sent us questions because they know you're going to be on the show today. So I wanted to hit you with one of those. We've kind of briefly touched on it, saying that how kids now here in Korea have so much access to different content. But one of our listeners, Evelyn, sent in a question saying, what's changed in the industry compared to when you first started and where you are now?
Wow. This is what it feels. I forgot that I had this on. I was like… Why are my ears hurting so bad? My ears are like…
That's the worst part of the mask.
I didn't want to say anything because I know you're a little sensitive when it comes to…
I am. I'm sensitive of the… You know, basically what it comes down to is if you don't know something, you might as well just fucking avoid it, right?
Yeah.
I avoid it at all costs, especially because I have a baby now, right?
Yeah,
I have a three-year-old and you have kids.
Absolutely.
That's why I have to be safe. But I realize you have kids, so you're going to be safe. So the guys you hang around are not going to be dirty. So I figure, okay, I'm going to take mine off. But anyways, when it comes back to that question… You guys are going to realize I'm one of those people that stray off from the subject a lot of times.
That's fine.
That's what's good about this podcast.
We do that all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Like I mentioned before and you mentioned, the biggest difference is they have access to everything. Mm. Nowadays, the kids, what they see, hear, eat… I mean, kids nowadays are taller.
Yep.
Kids nowadays are better at sports. You know, there's you know, guys are all buff and cut and ripped, and mm-hmm. they all have heads that are this little on Instagram because they photoshopped that shit.
You're pretty shredded yourself.
Not anymore. I used to be, you know, people used to think I used to be on roids because I was always 1.8 to 2.3% body fat.
No, really?
Always. Even when I wasn't working out. I'm one of those people, if I stop working out, I lose weight. Because my metabolism is very high, and my doctor when I was 25 said, look, yo, are you doing roids? And I go, do all the tests. And he did the mm-hmm. testing, and we did everything, right? And he's like, okay, you have a very, very fast metabolism.
Damn.
And he says, if it were anyone else, you would probably get so many diseases and get sick all the time. But he goes, I know you're not on roids, but just in case you get tempted, don't take that shit because my father passed away with a heart attack when he was 43. So he's like, you know, it runs in the family.
43?
Yeah, too young.
Yeah.
What did he have, like a bad diet or was it just genetic?
I think it's genetic. He had high blood pressure and he had a heart disease and they said that he wasn't going to live long, but he lived about 11 years longer than what they said he would. Mm-hmm. But he had a heart attack and nowadays, if it was this time in age, you could put stents in there and whatever, whatnot. But back then he couldn't. And as a matter of fact, he passed away right at the hospital right over there in Itaewon. And he said, if you take that, you'll probably die because your heart is a muscle also and your heart will grow. And if you get heart enlargement and then you have, you know, like your dad's history, then you don't want to do it. So I was always away from that, right? Yeah. I was always about natural working out. So why are we talking about this?
He asked what the difference.
Oh, yeah. And you said I was shredded. Okay.
I almost forgot myself. Yeah. Wow.
So basically what it is nowadays what the youth in Korea, the influence that they get is so vast. I mean, you know, they could get everything that they want. I mean, when you look at the people, like I said, their bodies are changing. Yeah. And there's overweight people here even. And in Korea, there never was. Mm. There never was. You never see once, like maybe 1 out of 100 people would be a little bit chubby. But now they're getting more westernized. They're getting westernized, food, accepting the westernized culture.
That petty baguette.
And you guys have lived here long enough to know that I'm not saying all Koreans are, but they're very prideful. Yeah. We're very prideful people and don't want to take in other people. You know, I don't want to take… But that changed a lot around 15 years ago. They started taking in the Western culture and it boomed really fast.
Yeah.
Meaning, they started accepting it, opened up their minds. So now, the kids, the youth… Look at the talent. They dance better than… I mean, you look at the dancers, the choreography… Yeah. People around the world are actually biting off…
In Korea.
Yeah. So, it wasn't like that. I know it's like taboo to say this, but before back in the days, I mean like Japan, like electronics, Sony, right?
Yeah.
Cars. Now, Korea. Samsung.
Korea. Yeah.
LG.
Now it's like Korea.
Rap, and even, rap too. Korean rap is like way doper than Japanese rap to me.
Well, you know what? It's because the language itself, Korean language, fits better. With rapping. Absolutely. Even Chinese, right?
Yeah.
So it was Chinese movies that was like this. Mm. And in Asian, it would be Chinese movies or Hong Kong movies. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, after Korea started to take in other, you know, westernized culture, it was done. Yeah. And then internet came, it's done. It's like… Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, Koreans are taller. Because my friend, his dad, he was in the war. Mm-hmm. So he knows, like, he was in Pearl Harbor and all this stuff. And he goes, yeah, when I would see, like, the Korean soldiers, they were always taller. They're always taller. We would know who were Korean soldiers because they're taller and built. So, like, of course, quite naturally, when you're watching, like, 5 guys or 6 guys or nowadays, like, 18 guys or whatever dancing on stage, they're going to stand out compared to the other Asians, right? So I think all of this in conjunction with, you know, the fashion and the music and the trend that's going on, Korea took off within the last like 10 years like that, like quick.
Yeah.
Quick.
So in terms of that, when G.O.D. started out…
Oh, like, we were bums.
No. But I'm like, for someone like yourself, you grew up in the States.
Yeah.
So being a Korean in the States, I imagine you would have had difficulties there kind of with racism to some extent. But then coming here is… You're Korean by… In terms of…
Blood.
Your blood, but you're not… Korean because you've grown up in America. So, like, obviously that's changed as well.
Yeah. When I first came, there weren't that many Western… Kyopos. Yeah, there weren't that many… Well, Kyopos maybe during the summertime and wintertime.
Yeah.
But, like, Americans? quote unquote, only in Itaewon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it was tough. Well, you know, me growing up, there was racism for sure.
Mm.
I mean, especially because I grew up in Orange County, and in Orange County is vastly white population.
Yeah.
And then the other was Hispanic. And there weren't that many. Back then we called us Orientals, mm-hmm. and it wasn't bad. But back then there weren't that many Orientals, Asians, right? There would be maybe like third, fourth generation Chinese, or third, fourth generation Japanese, and maybe second generation Koreans. But there would be probably like, you can count how many Asians were in my school. Like, you know, like maybe eight, right? But they were like, they didn't speak Korean. They were just all Americans, right?
Yeah.
No.
Damn.
You know, like, Omonike, that song, To Mother, was my story to the extent where you see guys like spitting on the food. You know, like, when you look at the video, there's like a kid, he brings his lunch and he's eating and people spit on and throw it. That's me. Like, when I was a kid, my mom would work at a factory after my pops passed away. She had to work two jobs from 6 a.m. till 3:30 at a factory, and from come home and cook us dinner. And from 5 to like 10:30, she would work at a restaurant washing dishes and making kimchi or whatever it was, right?
Wow.
When she worked at the factory during lunchtime, all the Koreans that worked there would get together, and it was like a potluck. They bring, someone brings kimbap, someone, and then they would eat it together. She would bring me like Coke, and she'd foil wrap it and bring it. She wouldn't drink it. She'd give it to me. And then she would bring like japchae.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was eating it, and she's like, I go, Mom, why don't you have some? She goes, nah, 난 japchae 싫어요. So that's like, 어머님 짜장면 싫다고 하셨어. So that's where that 잡채 comes from. The 짜장면 comes from. But, you know, it feels like, 어머님 잡채가 싫어. It just didn't flow. So they did 짜장면. It was that. Then I didn't finish it. I left a little so that my mom could eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day I'd go to school. I open up my sack lunch. There's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And there's foil. I open it up. It's 잡채. And kids look at that. They go, what are those worms? Ew. And they spit on it. They're do this, then I would end up fighting them, and then they would call my mom, and you know, I get suspended for whatever.
Damn.
And from then on, I started dancing, I started skateboarding and surfing because that was my escape. I started surfing because I go to the ocean and no one's there, they don't f with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then the better surfer you are, then they give you respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how I started getting, it was vastly accepted. And that's just my background. But how did we get… Oh, yeah. And then when I came to…
It's all connected. It's all connected.
Okay. Yeah. And then I come to Korea. I kind of had an identity crisis. I'm like, I'm not American.
Mm.
I'm not Korean. Then what am I, right? So I was a little depressed. And then I started going… And then it was the IMF. So our music thing was put aside for a while. So I got a job at an ad agency because I was an illustration. I could draw and stuff. So visual communication and advertising. So I was making storyboard and Kontiko Tungchagwa, I was making commercials.
Yeah.
And then I started meeting people, like, you know, the Korean lifestyle where after you're done, you go and eat with people and then I started accepting it.
You wish we'd do another one of the questions?
We've got, who's this? Someone hit us up on Instagram and said, what's the history behind the catchphrase BAM?
BAM is, you know what, you're from the States. Everyone from the States
knows that. BAM.
Yeah, it's like, yo, that's BAM. It's just like when you read a comic book, you see Spider-Man hit something, it's like, BAM!
Yeah.
Or boom! It doesn't have to be BAM, but I just did BAM because I used to listen to Wham all the time and, you know,
Wham! BAM! A man! Jab or no jab!
Wham! So I'm like, yo, BAM! It's like, it's instead of cursing…
Yeah.
You know, or something like that. Dude, that shit is BAM. You know, let that word speak for itself. And it went BAM, and then it just became my catchphrase, they say. But, you know, I mean, we always used it.
I remember a few years ago, like, I think when you started really getting into Instagram and started commenting on other people's stuff, I was like, what the hell is after everything was, this was years ago, like,
writing BAM?
You first started commenting.
Yeah,
I'm like, what is going on? Everywhere I went, any of my, like, celebrity pages or friends or something, BAM. I'm like, what is going on?
You know, I do those kind of things when, like, when you see me doing that, it's probably because I'm like missing home or like,
It's cool. But at first, I was confused when I first saw it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, like a lot of times when I'm like commenting on people's things or something, it's like, it's kind of like my thinking stage. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of need that little, like, I miss my friends or I miss, it's like kind of like my venting phase where I kind of want to reach out and like speak to people, but it's like, you know, especially with this COVID shit right now, you can't go anywhere. You know, the things that we took for granted 3, 4, 5, about 8 months ago now, it's like, you can't do. I can't go down the street.
Yeah. But I also feel like one of the things you've done is almost normalize being a Korean American. Like we talked about it before, because whenever you're on television or when you're on YouTube, there's moments when I watch you and it's kind of like, you get lost in the Korean at times and you just like, whatever, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have started accepting that now.
Yeah, it's the new generation. It's a new train of thought. I've never changed. If you were actually with me on my filming locations back in the day, I haven't changed. But they edited out everything that I said.
Yeah.
I would just, I'm just the way that I am. And my mom would watch TV in the States and go, June, how come you don't say anything? I go, Mom, I spoke the most, but they just edited my shit out.
Okay. Cut you out.
Because back then it was like a lot of censorship back then.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's like, it's almost like the States. It's changing. Mm. It's changing. People are getting more open-minded because they're watching, like you said, they have access to a lot of things. So now people are watching Conan O'Brien. They're watching all these like Jay Leno's back episodes or David Letterman. Come on, they're all, it's all about sarcasm. American humor is sarcasm. In the beginning, it wasn't. Korea, it's more like slapstick comedy. Yeah. But
why,
now…
Why do you think that Korean doesn't really translate well for stand-up comedy? Why don't? Why isn't that big in Korea?
Because of the fact that in Korea… okay. Korea has a very sad… history, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why Korean music, if you listen to music, what hits is the trot.
Yeah.
Like basically the C, C chord songs, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even if you look at, if you listen to dance songs, if you speed that up, if you slow it down, it's the same as the ballad. The ballad chord, you speed it up to speed up the BPM, it becomes a song. And the ones that usually hit have that. That C chord, like, you know, sad. Mm-hmm. Because of the history is that way.
Yeah.
Anyways. So, that's music. And also, comedy, it was slapstick.
Yeah.
It was all about slapstick. Slapstick comedy. Kind of like Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
Charlie Chaplin. Changes.
Yes. Charlie.
Yeah. Why do you think 20 years ago, Kegu was still big? And they still have Kegu right
now.
Yeah. That sort of comedy. That slapstick.
It's all about the little skits that they do and the slapstick. Because, basically, back then… They didn't want… If you're going to watch comedy, it's going to be… You want to escape from reality because reality is so dreary and so sad. They want to watch something that's going to make them laugh. But now, it's kind of… That stage is… That generation is kind of fading away. So now, it's about… You got 말빨. It's about talking. It's about more about now reality.
Yeah.
It's all about… People want to talk. They want a kakungam. They want the kungtongjum. Yeah. So that's why now it's more acceptable. But there still are those people. I think, you know, the people that write the bad, you know, comments. Akpurs. Yeah. But they say that's like a group of like 1,500 people that do that.
Yeah. And make it seem like it's a ton of
it's
people.
It's so funny because I've never once in real life experienced…
No.
A single rude person, but
See that's what I mean. That's why a lot of people might get the misconception of that who read those things and they're afraid to come. No, it's not like that. Like, I've never really in person, except when I first came here and I had like, you know, I was like one of the first ones to get my hair bleached, you know, because I would do that in the States.
Mm.
Now they don't do that. Now it's like, you know, Westerners are welcome. And it was funny because my hair was like that and I was skateboarding down Apgujeongdong. And then, who was that? Awesome. Kim Jong-guk, Jong-guk-i-ga. He goes, I remember seeing you before you debuted because I saw some guy with blonde hair all ripped up in a tank top skateboarding. And so he says he dyed his hair blonde and he started working out. And I was like, really? And so, so on TV, he was like the first to have yellow hair or whatever because… But he saw
it. Not after that too? You inspired his hot bod?
Oh, yeah, he's got a… Yeah, but you know…
I think you've been one of those people that's reinvented yourself every time and you've inspired so many people. Like even in Hollywood films, you're probably one of the first Korean entertainers to go over to Hollywood and make movies.
Well, actually, I was like one of the first to actually go and really audition. Because most of the people, they would go with a silver spoon. They say that they're… I'm a Korean whatever, right?
Yep.
And this is before the huge like BTS or like Psy. It was before that. Mm. It was just like the starting part of it. And I went, but I really went in. Actually, Speed Racer, they came to us. Mm-hmm. Speed Racer for Speed Racer, they came to us. And Rain's part was actually supposed to be mine.
Really? Oh, really?
But then JY said, I think, you know, Rain, because, you know, he's more international. Okay, fine. So he got that part, right?
Yep.
And then I did the side. And then the management team in the States are like, you know what? You should go audition for parts because I know you could do it. Because you could speak the language. You got the look. It's fine. You could do it. So I did. I actually, the third audition I went to was Dragon Ball Evolution and I got it.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And then after that, I did another one and I got this thing called Dark Blue, which was a TV series. But then I died on that anyways. And then after that, I hurt my back, so I couldn't do anything.
On next week's episode of Nonsensible.
And I'm like, look, bro, those were the best times of my life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, my mom would come by and she goes, dude, smells like the Salvation Army in here. You know, it's like a thrift store.
I love that smell. Yeah. I love that smell. So,
can we 69 Mustang is the coolest name?
Dude, that's Joe Pesci right there. I could have sworn Joe Pesci was right next to me right now.
I pulled up in a 69 Mustang, stole her heart right on the scene.